Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for more baseball here with the Giants. Joining us is Hall of Fame inductee, and that is Jim Cott. And, of course, he's got a great book out this year, Good as Gold. But what a career for Jim Cott, and he is a Hall of Famer. Jim, nice to have you with us on the show.
Thank you very much. It's been quite a humbling honor and exciting summer.
Tell me about the phone call. It's always interesting when you wait for that phone call that you are going to be in the Hall of Fame. What was it like for you?
Well, it's always a pretty tense day, even though my expectations have never been high. I didn't get that much support from the writers during my eligibility, and then I missed by a vote or two a couple times with the Veterans Committee, but I know the drill. You know, they ask you to be near your phone. There's about a half hour window, and they don't call with bad news. And you know, if you're voted in, Jane Clark, the chairman of the Baseball Hall of Fame, will give you a call. So about 15 minutes of that half hour window had passed, and my phone pinged, and I look, it was a 917 area code. Now that's a Long Island cell phone, not Cooperstown. But I answered it anyway, and the voice on the other end said, "This is Jane Clark from the National Baseball Hall of Fame. She has an office in New York," so she was calling, you know, from her New York area code. And as soon as you hear those words, you know what it's about, and your life changes in an instant. Tony La Russa told me that. Jim told me, other Hall of Famers I got calls from. So, you know, I'll remember those words for the rest of my life. And it's a surreal feeling. You know, my thoughts first went, of course, to my dad, thinking of him going to the Hall of Fame. And obvious at 83, my parents aren't around anymore. But, you know, I've known so much about the Hall of Fame, and I just cannot picture myself being in Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Babe Ruth, you know. But then somebody said, well, you know, they were 25, 26-year-old guys, too, at one time. And then some of them, other than the original classes, probably looked back like I did and said, what am I doing here? But it's a pretty humbling honor to think that you're going to be in that unique fraternity. And I appreciate it. I'm very grateful for it.
Well, you certainly deserve it, just so the fans know a little bit of your background. 283, 237 is a lifetime record, 625 games started, 27 professional seasons, 25 in the big leagues, 25th all-time in innings pitched. I think about that, 4,530 innings, and you never had a sore arm. Your last game was at age 44, a 3.45 ERA, 2,461 strikeouts, a Minnesota record of 189 wins. You appeared in 1,004 games, Jim. 24 as a pinch hitter. I guess you could hit a little bit. 85 as a pinch runner. You could run a little bit. And with those stats behind you, and, of course, the 16 consecutive gold gloves, you are truly a Hall of Famer. What do you think about that?
Well, the numbers you mentioned, you know, we took a lot of pride in, as young kids, to be baseball players that just happened to be pitchers. So, you know, we were fortunate in those days. You really learned to do all phases of the game of baseball, and it wasn't quite as specialized as it is now.
Well, you had some moments, though, and people look back on a Hall of Fame career. They say, well, what about this moment or that moment? For the 1965 Twins that upended the Yankees in their reign in the American League, you did pitch the clinching game to win that pennant for the Twins in 65.
Yeah, that was a real thrill for me because, you know, in 64, the Phillies had that big lead, and they ended up losing. So all we heard in September from other teams, don't forget about the Phillies. Remember what happened to them. And so when I did have the assignment, even though we had, I think, maybe a six-game lead, but to get the assignment that day and then win the game 2-1, and actually the last out of the game is when I struck out my future good friend Don Zimmer. Zim was the last out in that game. And, to think that 5 years before that we were a last-place club and nobody gave us much chance, and you know, we signed all this talent like Tony Oliva and Zoilo Versailles, who was the MVP, and then, to be American League champions, that was quite a moment.
Well, that's part of the story, because you look at a team that had all the good players, and someone's got a pitch. And Pascual was pretty good, but you were the one that stood out. In fact, 1967, in the greatest pennant race probably in American League history, unfortunately you got hurt, but if you win your game, the Twins win the pennant in 67.
Yeah, I'm in the Boston area a lot, and Hawk Harrelson, Yaz have always been, real complimentary. They said, I don't know, if you didn't hurt your arm that day, I don't know if we'd have won it. That September of 67 was undoubtedly the best month of pitching I ever had in my career, but, pretty disappointing on that Saturday afternoon. It was the Tommy John injury, but they didn't have that surgery at that particular time. But I have a lot of good friends that are Red Sox fans, and I always tell them that they can thank me for helping a little bit to create Red Sox Nation.
Very good. Basically, looking back at the career, though, there's so many interesting parts of it. One is the people you played with in the Hall of Famer, Harmon Killebrew. It's a good moment. You're good friends with Harmon. And also the other one is Tony Oliva, who is a Hall of Fame inductee this year as well. He didn't have a smooth ride up to the big leagues, and Harmon was a bonus baby. So the three of you are now Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and Rod Carew as well, right, was a teammate. Yeah. Tony's a great story. I'm so honored to go in with him. It would take a while to tell his story, how he reported to spring training, just got out of Cuba late in 61, and he got released. They didn't have room for him anywhere. He went to Charlotte and roomed with the guy we call the Cuban godfather, Minnie Mendoza, who took care of all the young Cuban players. And the next thing, they send him to Withville just to see if he could play, and he leads all the minor leagues in hitting, and all of a sudden he wins a batting title his first 2 years in the big leagues, the only guy to do that. So it's a real honor for me to go in with Tony, and to have been his teammate and his friend for the last 60 years makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah, and of course Harmon as well was a big part. And you're right, Rod Carew, we can't forget him either. And plus, you survived negotiating with Calvin Griffith. How about that?
Yeah, that is a battle of survival, because that was before free agency. And it's just a game they played. I mean, when we saw each other later, Calvin and I would just talk civilly to one another. But before free agency and you couldn't go anywhere, why? Owners had quite a game they played. They'd make you feel as worthless as you could possibly be, and you were lucky to be in the big leagues, and you ought to be thankful for that and just take whatever money they gave them. So that was the battle we went through every year. But I have no regrets. I mean, I ended up, the last year being on a World Series team, winner in St. Louis, so it was all worth it.
Well, it was. And again, as we look back on your career and the mark you made in baseball from the very beginning with the Washington Senators right through the St. Louis Cardinals and the World Championship, and the people that you touched along the way, and your career along the way. So this Hall of Fame is very, very well deserved for you. And of course, the broadcast career is just cherry on top of the cake, really, for you. You've done so much in the broadcast realm and telling it the way it is, and I've always enjoyed it, and I think the baseball fans do. So Jim, I congratulate you for a Hall of Fame induction, and it's well deserved, and I appreciate you being on the show.
All right, Marty, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, more coming up. KMBR 680 1045, the sports leader.